Thank you, Ryan. Good for Dum Dums and Tootsie Roll. That's all I have to say.
Not good for Tootsie Roll.
Oh, that's true. Good for clinical psychologist, certified life coach, parenting and relationship expert, host of Better, a podcast with his wife. Dr. John Duffy is with us. Thank you for coming back. You're our show psychologist.
Hi, guys. I'm always happy to be here.
It seems like more and more we have issues we would like to discuss with you. This whole Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin and parents trying to get their kids in to school, which shows like absolutely no faith in your kid.
This is that fundamentally is the problem, right? I mean, you know, like we can talk about how sensational that story is, but underneath it is that idea that, you know, my kid can't be successful on her own. I need to find a way to buy her way into a school. And the odds of that child being successful in a school where you have to do that anyway, where you feel compelled to do that, is missing an enormous boat that I think parents miss a lot. We tend to go for the reach school, the best school my kid can get into, because that's going to afford him or her the best opportunity. That's not my experience. My experience would suggest if your kid lights up walking onto a campus or says, I like the way these people feel, mm-hmm. I like the way this place feels, it has this major I want, goodness of fit feels like an overused term, but for college, I can't imagine something that's more useful. So if it feels like your kid fits in the school, even if it's like, I think you can go a tier higher,
right,
go with the goodness of fit, because undoubtedly your child's going to be more successful there than pressing really hard for the Ivies. And I work with people who do that, who really press for this high, high tier.
Sure.
And sometimes they achieve it, and those kids will tell me, it's not that satisfying. It's really stressful. It's really hard, and I'm not sure I'm going to be happy here.
I have a couple questions about this case from different directions. Question number one, I'm sure you saw the video of one of Lori Loughlin's daughters talking about what she wants school to be, that she's really in it for the parties and for the drinking, and the school part of it, not so important. If you're a parent and you hear your child speaking like that, what's your next best move?
I think you want to sit her down, right? So that's a little complicated by the fact that she's kind of insta-famous. This is a YouTube video. It's gotten, you know, hundreds of thousands of views.
Yeah.
So she's presenting a certain image.
Yeah.
But I think it's worth sitting down with her and saying, what image is it really that you want to convey out there, right? You know, do you really want to say that something as important as school you're not interested in? What, you know, and what do you think people, what's the reception to that? In other words, if you saw that from somebody else, how would you read that person? You know what I mean? Because kids are pretty intuitive, and they have empathy, and they can attend to something like that. I would encourage parents to ask their kids that. Like, you know, how do you think that falls?
How do you think that makes us look? That's what I would say.
You know,
it's embarrassing.
Listen, parenting is hard enough as it is, right? And
but
there
I would
is
feel,
that.
John, I would feel, if that was one of my daughters, I would feel like on some level I had failed.
Right. Right. No, I get
that. I have failed them. They're failing me.
Yeah.
Everybody's losing in this situation.
Right, right, right. No, I get that. I think you could also make a case, though, just to play a counterpoint for a second, that at the very least, she's being honest about it, right?
Yeah.
She's
because a lot of kids feel that way and don't say it.
Exactly. So, but I'm not sure that she's providing anything that's solution oriented,
right?
She's not saying like, if you don't care about school, here's how you get engaged in it. She's saying, I'm just in it for the parties, and that's it. You know what I mean? So I think that video probably begs another 20 seconds where she says, but here's what I'm going to do to kind of get into it a little enough,
right?
You know?
My other question really quickly is, what sort of relationship do you expect parents and kids to have going forward when something like this happens? How do you mend that fence? Obviously, the parents didn't have enough faith in them to be able to achieve anything on their own. They had to kind of buy the achievement end of it. So what kind of relationship going forward do you think they'd have?
I think as parents, you have to cop to, you made a big mistake, right? You know what I mean? Not just legally, but I made a big mistake on your behalf by not showing faith in you. And I actually do believe that there's a lot you can accomplish. And that might not mean that you get into USC, because clearly I didn't have faith that you could do that,
right?
You know? But that doesn't mean I don't believe in you as a person. So I apologize for what I did on your behalf, but I believe in you. And so whatever we need to do to repair that, let's talk that out, and you can have it out at me too.
Don't you wonder, though, if these aren't the first times that the parents helped out? Like, maybe there was a cheerleading squad that maybe, hey, I'm Lori Loughlin. Is there any way you can, I mean, it's, I don't know that this just, people wake up and do this. I feel like they've been maybe helping their kids along. And we all want to help our kids.
For sure.
To an extent.
Yes, but for sure. You know, I've been part of situations where people have written and said, you know, like, oh, my kid's not doing that well on the ACT. Is there a letter you can write to get him or her extra time? You know, so there's all sorts of things we do as parents to kind of game the system so that our kids get an advantage, right? Mm-hmm. And these parents took it to, you know, an absurd end. But I think, yeah, I would guess you're right for sure, Wendy, that this is not the first time that something like this happened. Did we buy our way one way or another? You know, like, hey, I'll host the fundraiser or right. whatever. You know what I mean? Like, and then will she make the cheerleading team? You know, with a wink and a nod, I'm guessing that there's a yes attached to that.
Monica Lewinsky is in the news, coming forward with she was on with John Oliver.
She was, yeah.
Your thoughts on what happened to Monica Lewinsky and the way she's been dealing with it?
Yeah, I think oddly enough, after 21 years or so since this all happened, her story feels wildly relevant to me in that I work with kids who are bullied online and can relate directly to what she's gone through, feeling like dehumanized and, you know, kind of relentlessly picked on as if she doesn't matter at all. You know, so I've worked with people who feel precisely the way she said she felt. So I'm actually really grateful to her, because I probably told in the last 3 or 4 days, 4 or 5 kids, watch this interview. You know, if you feel like you're the only one who suffered this, what, you're not going to believe what this woman went through.
She said at one point, I don't know if you've seen the interview yet, Wendy. Did
no,
you see
not
it?
All of it?
All right. So this aired Sunday night on This Week Tonight with John Oliver on HBO. So the question came up, would it have been easier or harder had this happened when the internet was around?
Right.
And the answer was both.
Yes.
Because it would have been a nonstop barrage of people ripping her to shreds as they do everything online. But she also said every once in a while somebody would have said something encouraging, and she needed to hear that, and she wasn't really getting that at the time.
Yeah, you can imagine that amidst the turmoil and the attacks from all different kinds of media, like social media to all the, you know, 24-hour news channels, she would have been inundated with negative data about herself. But there probably underneath it all would have been a, you know, Monica for President hashtag as
right.
well. You know?
Right.
So, you know, and to hear her talk about it and to hear kids talk about stuff like this, those few people who issue support, that means a lot.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? You can cling to that. And she kind of suggested that it could be a life or death thing. She wrote a piece for Vanity Fair a couple of years ago where she said a couple of times she considered suicide.
Yeah.
And I really do believe that's true, that, you know, like those few notes of support can carry somebody
mm-hmm.
and can keep them going.
I thought it was brave of her, and she helped people by talking about it.
For sure. No doubt.
Speaking of suicide, there was a news report. If your kid is struggling with depression or anxiety, is isolated, we see signs of the unfortunate possibility of suicide. There are some kids that present no signs whatsoever.
Right.
We're going to take a break and talk about this because I think you can really help some people. He's Dr. John Duffy, clinical psychologist. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And you can call us 312-981-7200. Spill left, it's Wendy Snyder. We're talking with Dr. John Duffy. John, I saw something that you shared. Was it CBS News?
It was, yeah. CBS News this morning, I think, from Sunday.
About a family, and I think we should all watch it and we should all learn from it. And God, congratulations to the parents for, I know, helping so many other people by coming out with the story. Explain.
Yeah, so these parents were willing to, they lost their daughter to suicide about 4 or 5, maybe 6 months ago. And their daughter did not fit the profile of what you would expect a suicidal teenager to look like. There are videos of her laughing, playing the ukulele. She's engaged with her parents. She talks to them every day. She does really well in school. She has friends. So any of the markers that I could think of as a professional, I'm thinking, okay, that one's not there, that one's not there, that one's not there. So these parents really had very little to work with. And then one day, her after a vacation that
a
seemed
family
like
was, vacation.
That she was very engaged in, she took her own life. And then in the wake of that, they found these journals. And this was a particularly brutal part of the story where you could feel her self-loathing and questioning herself over and over and over again in these journals. And it, I can't imagine what it was like for the parents to see these for the first time. But the courage to have them read on national television, their point being they didn't want their daughter to die in vain. And they, I think, recognized something that my field is slow to recognize, that the markers that we expect to see for suicidal kids, they're no longer that reliable, that any kid can be suicidal. And so I think the cautionary tale is if you have the honor roll kid who seems really connected and top of the class and, you know, captain of the cheerleading team or you know, the quarterback, it's still worth sitting down and asking them, hey, are you okay? Mm-hmm. I really want to know, you know, because I could tell these parents lamented not asking that question to their point, they were never given a cue to do that, you know?
But, John, will that kid be honest if a mom or dad is to say, I need to know, are you okay? Will most people in that situation be honest and say that they are not okay?
Here's the strange thing about it. Somebody told me this when I was in training, and I didn't believe them. They said if you ask a young person, are you feeling hopeless? Are you feeling suicidal? They will tell you. In 24 years of practice, I've always found that to be the case. And I've asked a couple of people a couple of months afterwards, why were you honest with me? If you were suicidal, why did you tell me you were suicidal? And what they've typically shared to a child was, well, I didn't want to die. I don't think anybody wants to die. I just felt so hopeless that I got this fog that suggested nothing else is going to do. You know, this is the only possible route to go to end the pain. So the point is to end the suffering that I'm going through. It's not necessarily to stop living, you know? So, yes. So if parents ask that question, I have a lot of faith that if you've got something in the emotional bank account with your kid, they're going to tell you the truth.
You also shared an article, and I don't know if this is technically what it was called, but functional depression, where just like this young girl, her exterior was everything was going for her, and she was coping with everything in life. But inside, there was so much hate and self-doubt.
Yeah.
A lot of people function with that depression deep down inside, don't
they? Absolutely. And it's confounding, right? Because you think depressed people, we have this picture of depression as being sedentary, right? That we're sitting on the couch and we're rocking back and forth and we're, you know, in the dark.
Right.
But an awful lot of depressed people are out there functioning in the world. And these are the people who make me most nervous because, again, they don't show the signs of depression. And so it's worth asking almost anybody. It's worth asking coworkers, hey, are you good? You know, like checking in with people, because sometimes people feel like the only way that they can keep going and stay alive is just to keep doing their job or keep going to school and doing all the assignments. And some people do them exceptionally well, like function at a very high level so that it looks even less likely. And they want it that way. They plan it that way. And part of it is, if I ever intend to do anything, nobody will be the wiser. Nobody's going to stop me.
You described this girl as being buried in self-loathing.
Yeah.
How does it get that bad? What happens that makes it that bad?
Well, I think part of it is sometimes it can be as simple as somebody posts something negative to you about online. Somebody says something negative to you in the hallway. But there is this default that a lot of kids have now that we might not have had a generation ago, that starts with self-loathing, and you've got to prove yourself to yourself. Yeah. You know what I mean? So an awful lot of kids don't think much of themselves and feel like they should have accomplished something by 12 or 13 or 14 years old in their lives when, you know, I think back to when I was that age and I thought I didn't know what depression was and I hadn't accomplished anything and didn't even think about it. But these kids are super aware of the world and the landscape of their emotional lives at really young ages because they're exposed to so much from 8, 9, 10 years old.
Sure.
They develop a point of view and they understand the nature of emotion from really young ages, yeah. You know? And that seems like a great thing and empathy is drawn from that. But also, depression can set in much earlier than it would have otherwise.
What do you do to a kid that doesn't have any self-worth? What do you say to them? That's where I feel like outside help works a little better because, you know, if you say, I love you, a lot of times a kid can go, well, you have to. You're my mom.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to tell somebody, no, you should feel better about yourself and that's it. You know, that's fine.
Right.
Right? You're, because you're my kid and I love you. And we have this inclination to talk our kids out of feeling badly about themselves, right? You know, like I know I, with my son, I am a bleeding heart and I have to fight this inclination to say, no, you're awesome. And,
right.
You know, that's, and if she doesn't want to be with her, you, that's her problem.
Right.
And she's going to miss out. But that's not what kids need. What kids need by and large, and this is why therapy for kids is so effective, is just to air it out. You know, if they can air it out and talk it out and talk about how they feel about themselves, they don't need somebody to resolve that for them. If they can hear themselves say the words,
yeah.
Usually they can find the flaw in the logic and work with that. But if it's fed to them,
yeah.
Then they'll feel exactly like you're saying, Wendy, like, you know, you're just trying to talk me out
sure.
of feeling bad, you know, but fundamentally, I still feel that
it's
way.
It's a Band-Aid. It's
yes.
not a pure or permanent
but if,
cure.
But if it comes organically from them, which it can,
sure.
Then you've got something.
Well, good luck, everybody, because it's, you know, I say this a lot. It's super hard to be a parent. I mean, you try your best. You hope for the best, but you want your kid to remain alive, to function well, and to be happy.
Yep. Yep, those are the goals.
John, when and where can people hear you?
Yeah, so my podcast Better can be heard on iTunes or on my website, drjohnduffy.com, and just about everything I do, you can find there.
Perfect. Thanks, John. That's Dr. John Duffy. We'll take a quick break, get you some news, and then more show.